Good evening and welcome to this, the sixth and final episode in this series, Fighting Crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence, live on VOB 92.9 FM and Hot 95.3 FM. I'm your host, Scott LaRocque. Our producer this evening, as usual, is Mr. Dennis Johnson. And we have in studio with me my co-host this evening, Melissa Savory Giddens. How are you doing, Melissa?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am cool. It's been a few weeks, but the conversation has been going on, and I'm pretty sure you've been listening.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. We have some recurring topics, a good few of them, and I'm pretty sure you're going to tackle all of them this evening.
That is the plan. Mm-hmm. So thanks for having me once again. And like you said, over the last 5 weeks, you will have heard about a number of crimes that persons would have committed.
Up to today, we had a serious one.
Up to today, we see that. And we would have also heard some solutions, parenting programs, education reform, justice reform. And persons would have had some questions that were left unanswered. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that this evening we can finalize everything and answer all of those unanswered questions.
All right. So tonight we're dealing solutions then.
Solutions. Where is the church? What are they doing? What alternatives are available to persons who are past criminals? Mm-hmm. And how can we solve conflict without violence?
Right.
Conflict resolution, something that needs to be taught. So this evening, as we bring on this curtain, we seek to answer those questions and to leave persons with a means of help, either to get help for yourself or to help someone who may need that help.
Right.
So this evening we have some guests with us. And we have Dr. Kenroy Burke. We also have Dr. Ronald Chase. So all the doctors are not the doctors as you may know them, but Dr. Kenroy is the administrative bishop of the New Testament Church of God. He's the senior pastor of Kingdom Empowerment New Testament Church. And he's a certified coach, mentor, trainer, teacher, and with the John Maxwell team. He's a trained counselor and he's a director of training at BIMAP.
Right.
So we have Dr. Kenroy Burke. In studio with us, we also have the power of choice man, none other than Errol Griffith. And Errol will introduce himself to us, as well as Dr. Ronald Chase, a psychiatrist, young person in general. He would also tell us all about himself as we get started.
All right. We want to hear from you this evening as well. When I say you, I mean you. Yes, you listening right there. You can hit us up via WhatsApp, 266-4862, or you can give us a call at 434-1790. Now, Melissa, you know how this hour behaves. So let's get moving.
Let's get moving. Who's going to go first? Ronald, Dr. Ronald Chase, can you tell us all about yourself? And can you answer any of those questions that I just put out there?
Surely, good night. Thank you for having me. For the pronouncing it show. Now, as you said, I'm a young person. I like to think so. I'm a psychiatrist. I work at the psychiatric hospital. I have a special interest in addiction rehabilitation. So I also do some volunteer work with the Substance Abuse Foundation, the National Council of Substance Abuse. I am a member of the People's Cathedral's Counseling Ministry as well.
Wonderful.
And at work and even in my volunteer work, I see a recurring theme. You brought it up earlier in terms of conflict resolution, where in, you know, in my experience, I've realized that we have in our youth and even sometimes in our adults as well, an issue with expressing our emotions, regulating our emotions and expressing our emotions. Because we can't manage conflict unless we can first regulate how we feel, manage our anger, because we're human beings, so we can be happy, sad, angry, anxious, disappointed at some point in our life. But it is how we manage and regulate our emotions. All right?
Thank you so much.
And so we express it.
Yeah, thank you. Over to you, Errol.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and God bless you all. All right, Errol Griffith, and we've dedicated ourselves to the teaching of what is now known as the power of choice. Really, it really is about realizing that every thought, every word, every action. And what he was just speaking of, every feeling is a choice. And so if I leverage off what was said just now, is that we believe that beyond managing emotions is about managing our thinking, managing our minds. And too many people do not recognize that as tough as it is, our lives change when we manage our minds.
So how do we manage our minds?
A couple of things. Let's go with one of the fundamental teachings is that the only person that in this world that Errol Griffith can control is Errol Griffith. Mm-hmm. That goes for Melissa, that goes for Dennis, that goes for every single one of us. And we can only control ourselves. And then on the flip side, therefore, if each of us can only control ourselves, it also therefore means that no one can control us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't control anyone else. And only when people come to that realization of who and what they cannot control, and I repeat it again for emphasis, we can only control ourselves, we can't control anybody else. Only then can we practice who or whatever we experience that we cannot control, accept. Accept, not accept and do nothing, but accept the truth that we cannot control. And I suggest that any situation, any circumstance that any of us just come to a point of realizing, you know something, I can't control he, she, or it. A sense of peace comes over.
Right.
And out of that peace,
mm-hmm.
we can then have the clarity of mind to then make the best response.
Possible.
And so at the fundamental is, I know I repeat myself, really stopping and realizing who and what in life we can control, who and what in life we cannot control. Accept as quickly as possible, even immediately,
mm-hmm.
everyone and everything that we can't control, cannot control.
And then we can move on from there.
Experience peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then be able then to respond, whether in thought, word, or action, to anyone or anything from that place of peace.
Okay, thank you very much. Dr. Ken Roy, can you tell us, where is the church and what is the church doing? I think I have to ask, where is Dr. Kenroy?
It seems that way. Oh, he's there.
Good evening. My friends, and good evening to all the listeners. He is very much right here, very much a part of the program. And thank you very much for having me. Where is the church? That's a question that we hear almost, it rolls off of people's tongue, almost automatic. Where is the church? I think that has been the go-to for many years. If there's Prima Violence, where's the church? If there is, you name it, whatever it is, where is the church? Interestingly, I don't think that we ask ourselves the question when we are looking at forming the behaviors that get us where we are. So we don't include the church when we are trying to form behaviors. But obviously, we know that we are oftentimes looking to include the church when there is a need now for reform. Oftentimes when the horse has already bolted. I would want to believe, Melissa and the gentleman who is now with me, that the church is very much involved. But I want to also believe that the church is as involved as she is allowed to be. Because we are now seeing, unfortunately, the fruit of an unchurched generation. What am I saying? A generation that parents never thought it necessary to take children to church. This generation, lots of these children have never gone to church. The former generations would say they had to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, sometimes twice. They had to go to church during the week. They had to go on Saturdays. They would probably say that they were over church.
Mm-hmm.
This generation is now an unchurched generation, a generation that any kind of relationship with God is a lot more difficult because the opportunities are fewer when it comes to that formal setting.
Can I ask you something quickly, Dr. Burke?
I hope so.
Right. So what you're seeing is a lot of people my age, which is like mid-30s, late-30s, committing these serious offenses involved in the crime and violence that we were discussing this evening. People my age range, most of them that I know, had to go to church, like every Sunday.
But you see, the problem is this, that person's your age range. But if we look carefully, we have plenty of teenagers now who are carrying out these crimes. If you look, you're going to see that the age range now of those persons who are carrying out these crimes are between 19, largely between 19 and 24.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that you might be considered old.
Yeah, I get that feeling sometimes for sure.
Very much so.
So my question is still, how relevant is the church in these times? Because people have access to all sorts of information, all sorts of different theories and things. So some might say people's minds are more open. From your perspective, it might seem like people are turning their back on God and their minds are more close to God. But others might argue, well, people just more open to different things. So the church ain't really saying, I know.
And unfortunately, this is where we always find ourselves, where we recognize that there is a relevance in the church. So the question is always asked, where is the church? Because there is, no matter what happens, the church will never lose her relevance. Because, the organization, as we know it, may lose, you know, a little, probably respect in society, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But the church will never lose her relevance. And the church is the first place they go, and it is the last place they go.
Exactly. It is true. I think we have a call.
Oh, we do?
Yes, we do. Good evening, right. And welcome. Good evening, and welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Minray Christian. I am a student at University of the West Indies, Cayfield campus.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening on a discussion, and I think one of the solutions as well is not just church, but also somebody, we can also kind of lean in on the organizations that kind of target the youth, which would be things like JCI, things like Toastmasters, etc., because even though it's not necessarily church-based, it tries to pull in the youth from trying to kind of fall back on the blocks, etc.
Okay, what groups are you involved in?
Okay, so I am trying to join JCI right now, but I also have an organization called Twig Project.
Don't assume everyone knows what JCI is.
What is JCI?
JCI stands for Junior Chambers International, and it's a youth group as well, a group that is trying to empower young leaders.
The youth element of JCs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I also have an organization that I started last year called Twig Project.
Okay, tell us about it.
So Twig Project, we started last year because I was thinking that I wanted a group that persons can come and work on things like self-image, self-love, etc., because I myself was in a very low place. And I figured that we needed a group where persons can kind of feed off of each other. So if we're all working together to empower each other and really uplift each other, then that would kind of start a bond, and we can, once we have actually worked on it ourselves, we can then take what we took and take it out into the community. I really wanted that with Twig, we can showcase a different narrative of young persons, because I know that the older generation tends to look at us kind of negatively. They kind of look at young persons and think they're disrespectful. They're not like how we, what the speaker just said, when I was younger, I was forced to go to church. But then in our generation now, we kind of have a little more freedom and stuff. So because things change, you kind of hear, when we were like that, we can do that, and young person this and young person that. So I wanted to showcase that with Twig, there are positive persons or here are positive young people that are trying to make a difference to the world and just trying to empower and change the narrative that was out there.
Do you find that it's easy for you to attract young people to organizations like yours, Twigs and JCI and that sort of stuff? And if not, what do you think could be done to make them more attractive?
honestly, it's not that easy. However, luckily for me, I was able to attract a good number to start with. So my organization, as I said, started last year, but we have 16 members. Mm-hmm. And right now, we are just working on building ourselves before we can actually start to do the outreach thing, because you don't want that. You start a group and you just want all the numbers coming in before you actually have...
Just got a group for having a group set.
Yeah. You want it to have some sort of stability. Mm-hmm. So to me, like the 60 members that we have now, we are really trying to make sure we are really united. Mm-hmm. And that's actually happening right now, because I remember one of my members would tell me that they feel as though we are a family already, and they look forward to our sessions, because as much as we may not necessarily be doing some of the other things that the other groups are doing, to them, that 1 hour or 2 hours that they spend with us is, even if just talking, is them working towards something still, because we are still trying to empower each other, etc. So for me, in terms of how easy it is, it's not that easy, but once you start somewhere, like, the word starts to spread, because I started getting members because a friend told a friend. And I guess that's how it spreads. How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 21 years old.
21. And the other members, 16 members, what ages are they?
Well, when I first started it, I wanted to be between 15 and 30. But right now, we have persons around the same 21 to, like, 27.
Okay. All right. And can you give us a sense of what are you doing within Twig? Twig is TWIG?
Yeah, TWIG.
And what does it stand for?
So one of the names is Together We Grow. That's the main name that we have. But I had a lot of names that TWG could stand for, which is like talented, willing, goal-seeking, mm-hmm. those kind of things, trusting words in God. Mm-hmm. But TWG really stands for Together We Grow. And the I originally was not supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. But it came in afterwards, because when my mom, I had asked her to pronounce it, and she called it Twig. And then I thought that the I was fitting, because mm-hmm. in it, we want that you can find yourself, discover your
the
I.
Find mm-hmm. the I.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you actually look at our logo, mm-hmm. The I is represented by a tree. If you actually type it out, we usually have all the other letters in capitals, and mm-hmm. then the I is common, because you are now trying to develop yourself.
Wonderful. So, Lemarie, we will take your information, you know, in case anybody want to get in contact with you about Twig Project. Mm-hmm. In case you're taking on new members, we'll take your information and we'll pass that on.
Before you go, Lemarie, are you all on social media with Twig?
Yes, we are on Instagram, and our Facebook page is currently down, but we are on Instagram. And once you go on our page, if you look in the bio, we have a link.
What's the handle on IG?
So it's T_TWIG. Project.
_TWIG.project. All right, cool. Gotcha.
Thank you so very much, Lemarie.
Okay, thank you.
Great job. Great. You know, it's good to see that young people mm-hmm. are doing for young people.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you heard what she said at first. She was down. And she decided to pick herself up mm-hmm. and bring some people along with her.
Inspire some others along the way.
She could have turned and gone the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. But instead of doing that, she did something positive. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, very.
And any comments from the panel? Ronald, I see you. And you're unmuted. Yes.
Yes. And I congratulate her. And I think more of that is needed. She said, you know, for those 2 hours, they just come together and they have fun and they uplift each other and they motivate each other. Because, you know, life will throw us some challenges, and we don't need a long time, but sometimes you just need that encouragement. And that to me is where the church also comes into it, where they, you know, you develop your youth groups to be like Twig. You understand me? Where you're now empowering and motivating those youth in your neighborhood, in your catchment area, to come and do something positive and be motivated in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She also mentioned about the generational gap. And I laughed because when I was 21 and stuff, we made the same comments that she made about our parents and the way we are our parents. Oh gosh.
Oh dear.
I'm not. Yes. You know, and I think we need to remember that and learn from it and go back. You know, things are not to always stay stagnant. Things should evolve and always keep themselves evolving for the betterment, not just devolving, but evolving, improving on a model. Yes, we went to Sunday school. Some of us were for, some of us weren't, whatever. No, you have some churches that has revamped the whole concept of Sunday school. You have, like Peel's Cathedral, they have a emergent youth group where they meet every Friday night. You know, it takes on a different form. They run their format.
Does it attract more young people? Because even Limerie said that it's not that easy attracting people to groups like hers.
It works, but you know, as she rightfully said, it takes some time. It is usually what happens is word of mouth, I find, more so than a big elaborate advertisement. Is word of mouth. It is about, so what they usually encourage is you bring along a friend,
mm-hmm.
and you build it in that way. And you know, I think not only churches but community centers, community youth groups outside the church can also do that to give something positive for our youth to do, and also have positive mentors in these groups that, you know, they can go and ask a question to.
I see Melissa is burning to ask something. But one more question. I know you just said that we are our parents now, which was very hurtful, by the way. But when you were 21, would you have been attracted to something like Twigs or the same youth group that you're talking about now? Would that, on a Friday night, would you want to be there?
Be honest. Come on, be honest. Dr. Kenroy, would you want to be there?
At 18, I was there. At 21, I wasn't.
Okay. Just checking.
But I can confess, at that age, I didn't believe in God. And so there was no way that you were going to catch me in a youth group.
Mm-hmm.
But I just share my whole experience, huh? So I kind of understand why a lot of people don't want to be in the things of the church,
mm-hmm.
and but Dr. Kenroy, you know, I really feel that the challenge for us who are believers and who are within what we call the church is to be able to reach people where they are without compromising the word of God, but speak it in a way that it can relate
mm-hmm.
to the
target group.
Okay.
And, you know, with the power of choice, when we took it into schools,
mm-hmm.
we started off by trying to put banners up in classrooms and in halls mm-hmm. where students can see them mm-hmm. and the messages could resonate.
Right.
And what it pushed us to do, challenged us to do, is to take what we teach and put it into 10 short messages that can fit on the banners
mm-hmm.
and that people can just quickly read. Every single one of those messages have a biblical scripture behind them.
Mm-hmm.
When we teach them in church, the biblical scripture is up front.
Right.
When we do it in the schools, in a mm-hmm. public place, knowing that if we put the scripture on the banner, many people will not look at it.
Long
or
strokes.
Even fewer will look at it.
I read that.
So we found that effective. In fact, the demand for the introduction of the power of choice in schools, both primary and secondary, mm-hmm. is beyond our capacity.
Okay.
To be able to meet the needs.
All right, we're going to come back to you. Yes. Stick a pin right there. Yes, we have a caller on the line. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I am also a UWE student. I'm also 21. I would like to say that when I was in secondary school, we did have a power of choice session, and we had it for the training of the prefect. And it did help us as a prefect corps to understand that we cannot control these little children, because to us they would seem like little children.
Mm-hmm.
We are only in control of what we tell them or what we show them. So it basically was a blueprint of what a prefect should be. So I am going to say thank you so very much for creating the power of choice.
Very nice.
And helping us. There was actually another time where that would have helped me. Still in secondary school, I would have been in a situation where if I did not control my actions, a criminal might have been created that day.
Oh, dear.
Exactly. The mere fact that I was able to understand I cannot control what this person is doing to me. Right. I can only control my
reaction.
Response to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I decided, okay, let me go the peace route because I have exam to do. I don't have time to be sitting down in a police station.
Right.
That was my whole terminology. In terms of young people today, I would like to add in something that the doctor would have said earlier about this being an unchurched generation. I would like to add in the word mostly. Instead of saying it's an unchurched generation, you can say it's a mostly unchurched generation. Because when you say it's an unchurched generation, you are insinuating that no young people are in the church today, which is genuinely not the case. Because
when you speak like that, you speak in generalizations. So obviously, I wouldn't insinuate that there's nobody at all in church. I am still a leader in church, and I am a young person too.
Hey.
All right.
Well,
but however, we understand what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank we understand.
I can understand where you're coming from, and honestly, I personally was driven out of the church, not because of anything the church would have done.
Hold on a second. Wait, stop. Hold on a second. Remember, you just said that you accepted the power of choice, right?
Yes,
so
please.
Were you driven out of the church, or you chose not to go in the church, to stay in the church?
This was before I took the power of choice seminar.
Okay.
So at that point, in my head, I was driven out of church.
Okay. And what's your head now?
What's in my head now?
In hindsight, about you being in church.
Oh, I allowed someone to influence my idea of church, which clouded my judgment. And in clouding my judgment, I would have most likely missed out on a lot of opportunities. However, my mother decided one Lenten season, instead of taking out something, we were going to add in church every Sunday. So for that Lenten season, we went to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And by the next year, I was on a plane to Grenada to represent Barbados in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following year,
mm-hmm,
I was enrolled as a server in the church. So I moved from not liking church at all to loving church and embracing church and doing everything I possibly can to help my church. So church does help.
When you said someone influenced your idea of what the church is, do you find that that's something common from talking to your friends and stuff? Because I find young people nowadays are basically on church, like the doctor said. They're just not attracted to that particular institution. Is it because people influence them? Is it because of what I said earlier, that people just have more access to more things, so they're just not attracted to church? What do you think it is?
Well, another thing that I would like to add into that is that you are basically, the people that you hang around with,
mm-hmm,
reflect on you.
You're a tribe.
So I personally don't have that many friends that don't go to church. They may not be the same religion as me. I am the only person of my religion in my friend group, and we talk about religion a lot. We would talk about the different aspects of the Bible that each religion would focus on.
Mm-hmm.
We would discuss different problems that this society would have and that society would have, or this culture and that culture, because we are the type that would share our ideals in a very safe place and be respectful to one another's opinions and perspectives. I find that's the problem. Not a lot of people are respective and appreciative of other people's opinions.
Right.
That is where we would get the fallout.
Gotcha. Sounds correct. Sounds very, very accurate. Melissa, yeah. You were...
Yes, thank you so much, Cassandra, for calling us. It's great talking to you. We have one more question.
Cassandra, could you WhatsApp me on 824-4444, please?
Give me a second. Let me...
Yeah. Maybe just record it. You can forget it.
Come on, use that 21-year-old brain, man.
8214.
I'm sorry. I just came out of acting teaching lessons.
Oh, okay.
It's 8214, and it's Errol Griffith. And it's the listener from the first caller. She can also WhatsApp me. I would appreciate it.
Wonderful. Getting jobs here. All right, man. It's on my WhatsApp. This number, too. So thank
What's
you.
What's the number again?
Young girl. 824-4444.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks for calling in,
Sharina. Thank you, Cassandra. Dr. Kenroy, anything from you before we go to our next caller?
Yes, I'm listening, and I obviously I know we want to talk some solutions.
Solutions, yes.
It's kind of like galloping. I know the term is galloping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but there still remains a strong body of evidence that faith-based organizations are actually very effective when it comes to helping persons through challenges, especially things like behavioral issues, etc. And it is kind of interesting that the deeper personal problems, the deeper personal issues that people face, there is a lot of refuge found in church-based organizations. Let me say faith-based organizations instead of saying church. I'm going to say faith-based organizations.
Mm-hmm.
When people are going through issues in marriage, when people are going through issues with parenting, when people are going through issues with domestic issues, whatever it be, the deeper things, when they have decisions to make, it has been proven that they usually default to a faith-based organization. They go to the pastor, they go to a priest, they go to whomever else, and they would usually seek guidance at that time. What I'm saying is there is still a role for, and I think that needs to be understood. I think that sometimes we might get caught up with going to church and being part of, and not understanding that there is a big difference there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I can comfortably say is, and because I do a lot of youth work, etc., I can comfortably say that if you were to do a quick survey, a large percentage of this generation, and when I say this generation, Scott, again, I'm talking about
you, Scott.
Yes, I accept my place as an old man now. It's all good.
Right. That 19 to anywhere to 24, 25 age group, there are actually many of them, and younger now, who are not involved in any faith-based organizations, youth groups, and those kind of things. In fact, this generation, it is said, because of things like the computer, the internet, social media,
mm-hmm.
they're actually taught to be very, very secluded. They just focus on themselves. They can go into a room and sit down with a device and be socially interacting and be just happy. You get what I'm saying? So I think that it is something that we need to appreciate. So the church still remains that organization, one of those institutions that persons can find that counseling help. There are many programs out there. Right now, churches are involved in lots of parenting classes, teaching parenting. There are lots of what we would want to call, just like Arrow's organization, those organizations, parachurch organizations, that support young people, support parents, work with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is something that we need to embrace now.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you so much. Remember, do not call the WhatsApp. You can message us, 266-4862. Somebody's actually calling us right now.
Right.
Speaking of calls.
We have calls on the line, but we have a clip first. We're just out on the street asking persons, what are your solutions to crime? And this is what we heard.
What are your solutions to crime, sir?
My solution to fighting crime is that we start at the top of the tree where the fruit is bearing. Remove the fruit, then you will see that crime will dwindle in Barbados. We can't have a bearing fruit committing crime and we seeing it and we looking past it. And then you're just dealing with the small man that cannot afford to buy a gun. They were those that could afford to purchase a gun to give the small man. Then we will solve the problems. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So that is one.
Interesting too.
Very interesting. I actually thought about it.
It's sort of the same thing that our first guest said. I can't remember his name right now. It's slipping my mind.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But nevertheless, but we have calls on the line. Let's not back that up. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me on. My name is Pierre Cook. I'm the Faculty of Law representative at the University of the West Indies, and I'm also Prime Minister of Barbados National Youth Parliament.
Wow.
The discussion today, this evening rather, was very, very interesting for several reasons. As a young person myself, I'm 21 years of age, I find that the discussion around crime and violence and young persons and, you know, their inclusion or getting involved in these activities, sometimes I feel a bit removed from it, and I wonder why. So when I was at community college a couple of years ago and I was sitting in class and I saw these statistics of, you know, 17-year-olds involved in murders and 18-year-olds involved in shooting and robbing, I sat and to myself I was like, okay, why is it that they're in this situation and I'm the same age, but I'm in a classroom at community college taking my course in law? And when I thought about it, I realized that I had a certain privilege in terms of the community that helped to nurture me growing up. So there was the church, there was community leaders, youth organizations. My school was very instructive. The Aline School was very instructive in making sure that I had persons around me who could support me in my development. And what I then realized and settled on is that it takes a village. Oftentimes we hear it in society. We hear people saying, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a young person. But then I give you an example. You guys have been out into the streets and you've asked persons what are their solutions for crime. And how many persons have said, well, it starts with me. I need to take up the mantle, or I need to go into society, or I need to go talk to the fellows on the block and make sure that they understand that, you know, there's a different way or somebody is interested. Most of these young persons who we find who are in difficult situations or end up involved in crime or falling by the wayside, when you check their family structure, you might find that, you know, a father isn't in the home or a mother isn't in the home. They went to a school who didn't pay much attention to them, probably didn't have that much attention at church. And even if they did have that instruction, somewhere along the line, they lost that support. So the conversation around the solutions to crime or the solutions to violence, mm-hmm, has to start with the village taking up their role again in helping to raise children and helping to instill, you know, proper values about, you know, how to solve conflict, how to deal with difficult situations. Because as you guys rightfully said, I'm in an age where if my parents don't teach me certain values or the church doesn't teach me certain values or I don't learn certain values from my Barbadian society, mm-hmm, I have the internet. So I can go online and I can listen to music and I can watch shows and I can learn from the internet how to be a person or what it means to be a man, and that may not be the best thing. So then we end up with a bunch of violent young people on the street, and then we blame the young people for being bad, but how many persons take, you know, responsibility and say, I haven't been as useful as I could be to young people, or I haven't been in the community and helped out a lot, mm-hmm, because the programs are there. At the Ministry of Youth, they have, you know, pathway programs. They have a youth entrepreneurship scheme program, several programs put in place to help young people who are interested. And they have, you know, the youth commissioners and youth development officers who go out into community and speak to these people as well. But what we need, what I think is needed wider in Barbados and maybe across the region, is that sense of a village, that mentality of, you know, I see a child in the wayside, I can talk to them. Parental training. And the church is very instructive and important too. And for those persons who are not interested in church, there are other organizations and groups that can help you, but you just have to be willing. You just have to want to change or assist or lend some support.
Right.
I think that's where we need some of that conversation.
Do you have any of those groups or that you can recommend to us?
Yeah.
We're compiling a list. Go ahead.
Yeah. So in terms of youth organizations that can support young persons or help them to get involved, the one volunteer organization I know of is the United Youth Leaders of Barbados, who work very strategically in helping young persons to get involved in volunteer activities, give back hours. I think they meet on Sundays. Well, with the COVID situation, things have changed a bit. But they meet and they plan programs to help young persons.
Mm-hmm.
Barbados National Youth Parliament is also another organization that persons can get involved in.
Pierre,
yep.
Do you think that the men on the block can go and join these organizations, Pierre?
Well, I
think... Take both it really hard. tell me really, Pierre.
Yeah.
Tell me the honest truth.
I take that point, and mm-hmm. and there are different categories of groups for different persons.
Right.
So I know if I was on the block, ain't looking at Youth Parliament or UILB, because that's...
So how do we get them? How do we get these men, these guys, these young people from off the blocks and being productive?
Okay, good.
What's your solution to that?
I mentioned the Ministry of Youth.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to go to them. Are they going to come to me?
Yeah, that's the thing. They have a very, very, very valuable resource team of persons who go out into the community. I help with the youth program.
Mm-hmm.
And part of your role is actually to go out into the community and put together sports programs and entrepreneurship programs and help persons with CV writing. So we meet them where they're at.
You go and
you have a conversation.
And you don't come to me hoity-toity and that kind of thing, you know.
No. But listen, I might be one of the persons who speak a little more proper than the others.
Okay.
Or a little more.
Of course, as Prime Minister, you should.
All right, man, you should. Please do.
As Prime Minister, you should. Come on.
But when we go out into the blocks or those areas, you try to make yourself as relatable as possible. And I always tell myself, I'm a young person too. Mm-hmm. Had it not been for the group and support that I had, I might have been in the same situation.
Exactly.
So we always go out there with an approach of, I'm no better than you, I'm no different from you, I might have different opportunities, yes, but I want to see how I can help you or we can support you. And the good thing about it is that when we go out there, it's always with, you know, trained people who have their background in social work, and there's always a program that we can point them to. If it's sports, we have a sports program. If they want a job, we have an employment program. If they want to learn skills, we have a skills program. So there are those support mechanisms there. What we do need is some support, and if we can't meet them, ask in person to help them to meet us. And the community, again, taking up their role as the village to raise the children and raise the young people.
Wonderful.
We're not all lost.
All right.
We're not all lost. There's still some hope.
Thank you so very much. We have another caller. We're going to go right into that next caller. Thank you, Pierre.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the program.
Yeah. I am a very strong church person, let me put it that way. There are two texts that I would like to, like your group, to look at. One, except the Lord buildeth the city, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watcheth the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Think of that. Then the other text, Christ says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. In all your discussion, could you think of those two texts?
Thank you very much. We will.
Thank you very much for sharing. It's already 15 minutes after 7 o'clock. I have one message and another call coming out. Let me read this WhatsApp quickly. Every generation that comes is better than the last generation. However, the first 7 years in a kid's life are the most important. The fathers have to take responsibility for their kids. Barbados should have a zero tolerance policy for domestic violence. Until you address that elephant in the room, nothing will change. All right, let's head to the phone lines. Good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening. I was listening to the program, and as I will agree with Pierre, very interesting stuff I've been shared. And first, let me just introduce myself. My name is Russell Blackman. I am the Works Arts Director of People's Cathedral, creative, and all around lover of God and lover of people.
Do you have a sound speaker?
Pardon me?
You sound a little far away, so I was asking if you have a sound speaker phone.
Oh, I did have you on speaker.
All right, a lot clearer now.
Okay, great. And so I've just been listening to the program and hearing everything that's been said. I wanted to see a lot with what Pierre was saying. That I do a 7 years of a social life or something formative. And with that, it really
we have to look at our socialization and what's happening in the community, what's happening around us. Now, I know we tend to cry out and to keep noise more or less when we see persons that have gone too far. But what that means is that there's this systemic problem where we ignore children, or children are being ignored, young people are being ignored for a certain amount of time until they become too much for people to handle, and then they become, quote-unquote, a menace to society. And we have to be able to look at, you know, what are some of the things that we may be doing as a culture and as a community from young that could be causing them to turn into, you know, who they are turning into today. The gentleman before me mentioned two scriptures and what's not. But in rebuttal to his two scriptures, what I would say is, and I understand what he's trying to get at, but in rebuttal to his two scriptures, I will also say the text also says faith without works is dead. And so we can talk a good talk, but if we're not willing to put in the work, then there is a problem. And so I really would, for me, pushing mentorship is really, really key. If we want to talk to guys on the block, I know that there are several adult males that were on the block that aren't anymore, that decided to change their lives around. They could be the head ones going and mentoring and speaking to those that that are currently on the block as well. As it relates to children coming up, what is fed to them, whether it's through the speech of their parents, what they're watching, things that they're being exposed to, all of those things can help to impact their life all around. So those are some of the things, based on what everybody was saying, that was jumping out at me so far. There's more I could say, but I'll.
Somebody says, good evening. Y'all referring to the block like it's the worst thing. The block is not a terrible place. I grew up on the block. Let me just finish reading it. I grew up on the block. I still go on the block, and I consider myself to be a respectable person in society. It all comes down to what one of your panelists said, the power of choice.
Agree. I completely agree. Because I know I have friends who have been on the block who still frequent the block and that kind of thing. And the block, for them, they learn a lot about life and a lot about community there and what's not. And then different people find their sources of community different places. The reality is, as the person said, yes, there is a power of choice, but people also have to know that they can make the choice and what their choices are. And the reality is that not everybody knows. There's some people who grow up automatically thinking that there is only one way to respond to conflict, or there is only one way to, and some people don't generally know that they actually have choices.
That's true.
They have options.
For some people, everything is disrespect.
That's it. That's their only response. But that can be their only response if that's all they've seen growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so sometimes what we see, you know, later on when we see guys acting out or girls acting out, it's just their response to childhood trauma or childhood wounds that they're dealing with, because they don't know any better. And we have more or less created a very shame-based culture where we expect people to come out the womb and grow up knowing better and expecting them to, oh, you should know this. Mm-hmm. But if they don't have someone teaching them or training them, then they won't know it. Before, we did have a very religious-based culture where people, parents, even if they didn't go to church, they would send their children to Sunday school and that kind of thing. I heard our prime minister recently, she said that doesn't happen anymore. And that's the reality, that doesn't happen anymore. However, there are general basic morals and ethics that guide us as a community that I feel as though we have not talked about enough. Mm. And because with the sense of entitlement, and you would hear people saying now, I don't want to tell anybody, child nothing, because I don't want the parent come to me.
Yeah,
and
everybody's adopting that hands-off approach. Like, I want nothing to do with it.
Everybody has returned to their home, shut windows. If I hear it, if I see it, I ain't saying anything. And then we're keeping noise. We're saying, you know, this is an issue, but we've all turned a blind eye when the cause started before the effect happened.
Very true. The government needs to do something about crime, but what are you doing? Absolutely nothing. Neither, I'm not asking you. I'm just saying that everybody says the government needs to do something about crime. The police need to do something about crime. Scott, but then what are you doing?
Yeah.
And the reality is that the government and the police can deal with the effects, but we as a community can deal with causes.
Right. All right. Thank you so much for your call. Like, I think we have a couple more callers on the line. We have only 8 minutes, Melissa.
The phones are ringing off the hook. Okay. Who's up next? Good evening and welcome to the program.
Hello. You're live on air. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening. How are you guys doing today?
Good. And you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was listening to the calling program, so I decided I wanted to call in as well, too. I believe that in order to get some of the young persons from off the block, I believe that not only do they have to decide for themselves that they want to do better, if they have anyone who's within their family that is a role model that has the ability to influence them, to allow them to say, all right, look, I know that you're doing this, I know that you causing crime, I know that you're on the block, I know you're smoking weed, wherever the case may be, I know that you can do better in this life. So I have an opportunity for you to come and I can show you how to do better things. There are most young people don't have any role models in their life, especially in this day and age. Most young people, they stay home or they stay on the block, they listen to the radio, all the gun violence and stuff that's on the radio, especially in the latest calypso and music and stuff that's out now. All they do is just listen to that, and that within itself does promote a lot of violence in terms of, they don't know how to solve actual matter within themselves. And for me, I believe that if you have a role model in your life, even if it's a total stranger, that could actually just say, well, you know what? I know that you can do better. This is what I have for you. Because sometimes some of the young persons just want someone to believe in them. And more than 90% of things, they have no one to do that. And they could only follow the multitude, the rich, the crowd.
Believe in them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Totally understood, for real. But you can't blame it all on the radio, though. Just had to add that in because people
are as a DJ, right?
As a DJ,
that's no
yes.
problem. That's no problem. But for me, I find that, like, I will pass the block walking home, and all the music that I'm listening to is extremely violent. They're nothing positive.
But they could be streaming from SoundCloud, YouTube. They might not be listening to the radio to hear all that violence. I don't feel listening to, especially not hot.
Understood.
For sure.
But right. I don't know. I just find that you gotta start within yourself. I heard the caller say earlier that you have to want better for yourself. You want to be able to say, you know what? I don't want to be in a block anymore. I want to be able to do something with my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that when birds of a feather flock together, they don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. They just see it as everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, even if it's a girlfriend, that they can just tell them, well, you know what? You want to block every day. You're smoking. Yes, maybe. You
some sort of positive influence is needed, for sure.
Exactly. You just need one person. And it could be a total stranger. It could be a girlfriend. It could be an aunt. It could be a grandma. They just need one person to believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
Then things will change.
Then things will change. Cause
yes.
Like, young people would say, all right, look, I ain't got the money. And, I want to go and rob somebody.
All right,
or
good.
I want to commit a crime. I don't think that I can make my own money wherever case may be.
All right, well, we have a young lady on the phone, and she says, you know what, she has her own project as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to welcome her this evening to tell us all about that project. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hi, you're live on air.
Hi, good evening. My name is Danny Fice, and I am so grateful that you guys decided to have a program like this on national radio because it is so needed. My name is Danny Pines. I am 26 years old. Mm-hmm. And back in 2018, I started my nonprofit organization. It's called the Supernatural Girls Club. And that was a vision that I had from 2013. And listening to especially the caller before me just now, or the individual before me, it is so needed to have a space. My club is for girls 11 to 13 years old. It is so needed to have a space like that because, like he was saying, people just need somebody to believe in them. People just need somebody to see them and see who they could be. And that's where the club leans towards exposing girls to who they can become. And, you know, when we started the Girls Club in 2018, it was not geared towards necessarily violence or, well, it wasn't geared towards violence per se, but where I wanted the program to be different, or how I wanted it to be different, is that I didn't just want to have a program for giving information. I wanted the club to be that space that empowered girls to make choices. Because growing up in the housing area, just a little bit about myself, I grew up in Eden Lodge. So I am all too familiar with the block. I am all too familiar with smelling, you know, the substances. I am familiar with the sounds of violence. I'm familiar 100% with it. And my mom would always say to me, you know, you are not a product of your circumstances. Mm-hmm. But then she would end the sentence right there. You're not a product of your circumstances. But growing up showed me that I am a product of my choices.
Very good.
And sometimes we just know we know that we can have the choice, or we know to say no to certain things, but we don't necessarily know what to say yes to. We can say no to guns, no to sex, no to drugs, no to violence, but what do we say yes to? So when I started the club, I wanted to make sure that the girls were being exposed to what they can say yes to. So the most recent session we had, I brought in women from different sectors. So a CEO, an author, a digital entrepreneur, a content creator, you know, different people who are seeing a measure of success in different spaces where the youth are, just to show girls, okay, listen, I know that it is easier, default, I think, to say no to drugs, but look, you can say yes to somebody that started with you, and look where they are now. So that was just very important to, you know, have that club and have something solid for the girls to be a part of. I feel a sense of community, like Twig was saying, that everybody wants to feel like a place of belonging. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Carla, thank you so much for your contribution.
And we're going to take her information as well, and we're going to pass it on in case anybody needs to get in contact with her.
Mm-hmm. It's 7:29.
It's 7:29. Panel, I'm so sorry. The phone lines just kept going and going. Any final comments quickly? Dr. Kenroy?
Yes, please. Just to follow up on callers, and I think it was important for us to hear from the youth. I was happy to hear 21-year-olds call in,
wonderful,
you know, and say what they want, what they think is wrong, how they think the problem can be solved.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Kenroy. We have like 10 seconds each. Dr. Kenroy, tell us quickly.
I'm agreeing with Ronald, and glad that they got the opportunity to call to say what they are seeing on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the conversation needs to continue.
Errol, quickly.
Quickly. The thought is that everybody knows social distance, sanitize, and what's the third one?
The power of choice.
No. It's talking about COVID.
Okay.
So physical distance.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. 23.
Wash your hands, wear a mask.
Wear a mask, yeah?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's about time that we get principles that we want to promote for the changing of the character of our country.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that we got 3 for COVID.
And they're stuck in your head.
And stuck in your head. Mm-hmm. Let's get some that are nationally for character building.
Wonderful. Right. We're going to take note of that. And remember, Pierre said it takes a village to raise a child. Russell, he said mentorship. We have all these other programs happening. Just contact the station. We have the information here for you if you need it to get involved in these groups. Just do it.
All right, cool. Thank you so much, Melissa, and thanks to all of our co-hosts. Big up to our producer, Mr. Dennis Johnson. Final episode. Cha. So many calls, but it was a good one.
I'm your host,
Scott LaRock, saying good night. This is the last time for Fighting Crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence.
Got to thank you guys for putting together a definitely enjoyable series of Wednesdays. It's been 6. They went quickly, and I certainly enjoyed sitting in the chair as the producer and listening to what I call Generation Next, because as I ride out in the sunset, it's all over to you guys. Thanks a lot. Job well done.